I recently heard about a pupil in a history exam who was writing about Sir Francis Drake, who was the first Englishman to sail around the globe. But the student got confused between the word circumnavigation and the word circumcision and wrote on his paper, "Sir Francis Drake circumcised the world with a 100-foot clipper." The mind boggles. Well, Paul's letter to the Galatians urges the Christians there to avoid two things. On the one hand, they were to steer clear of legalism, as advocated by the circumcision party, the Judaizers, who argued that believers, whether they be Jew or Gentile, should have to be circumcised and obey the Jewish law. On the other hand, they were also to avoid license or licentiousness, using their newfound freedom to indulge the sinful nature, which they needed to understand had been crucified with Christ. If these believers could do this, if they could avoid legalism and avoid licentiousness, then in their lives they could produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. But if they veered towards legalism or license, then their common life would disintegrate. And the instructions in chapter 6, verses 1 to 10, would not be complied with. Verse 1 says, "Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual, you who have the Holy Spirit of God, should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted." In the church community, we need people who know us well, but still love us anyway. You know the saying, everyone's normal until you get to know them. And we need people who love us unconditionally, who know our strengths but also our weaknesses. We need people to whom we can open up and confess sins. And we need people to hear us who won't be shocked or judgmental or gossipy. We need people whose own agendas won't prevent them from supporting and helping us. Gentle restoration is what we are supposed to be about when someone slips up. That's not to say that there isn't a place for church discipline, sometimes quite severe discipline, where there are ongoing defiant sins, perhaps, or hypocrisy. This is really talking about people who are sincere believers, but who've got themselves in a tangle, who are caught and are sorry, but just need help in getting their lives back on track. Gentleness can be combined with firmness sometimes about the route to restoration. But restoration must be the aim, rehabilitation. But what happens if there is a spirit of legalism in the church? Well, instead of gentle restoration, there'll be shock, possibly manufactured shock. "Oh, did you hear about so-and-so? I never thought that of them." Or, you know, judgmental gossip, even delight in scandal. Because if there's a spirit of legalism, you see, people will quite enjoy feeling superior to other people who, in their eyes, you know, haven't made the grade, who've slipped up, who've fallen. And so there won't be a safe place for people to find help. Conversely, if there's a spirit of license, then someone who is actually caught in sin may not even realize that they need repentance and restoration. And it's all just swept under the carpet or glossed over. A church with a licentious spirit is one that's reluctant to use the word sin, perhaps, or to name specific sins for what they are. Sinful behavior is condoned or rationalized or underplayed. Concern for holiness and spiritual health takes a back seat to surface harmony. You know, well, we like to keep everything happy. We don't want to challenge each other or rock the boat. That can be the attitude. People pride themselves on tolerance and broad-mindedness when actually they're just being lukewarm about the faith and indifferent to the spiritual well-being of others. So a spiritual person is wise to avoid legalism and license. But even such a person who is avoiding those two and is seeking to restore someone gently should be alert and careful, should watch themselves. Because restoring other people is an activity that will make us targets for the evil one. Peter Horobin, who started the work of LL Ministries several years ago, was very much into classic cars, and he was delighted when one day he had the opportunity to take hold of a particular classic car that he was very interested in, and he couldn't afford to pay any money, but a guy was offering this wrecked car for about 50 quid. It was the amount that he'd spent on lifting this car out of a river. It had been crashed, it had been vandalized, it had been burnt, and it had sunk to the bottom of a river. But the guy had managed to get it out and said to Peter, you know, do you want this car? And he said, yes, please, I'll restore it. It'll be great. But he found when he was trying to restore it that it had a bent chassis, twisted chassis, which is fatal, really, for a car, because if you don't have a chassis that's straight and in order, then the car won't go properly, it can't steer properly or work. So he got very down and depressed and thought, oh, I have to try and get the blueprints for a chassis and have it rebuilt. And it was the middle of the night, he was working in his garage, and he just felt the Lord saying to him, you care about restoring this car, but do you really care about restoring people's lives, people who are bent and broken and out of shape? And from that moment on, he committed himself to following that direction that he felt the Lord had given him. But restoring others, as I've said, is an activity that will make us targets. And Peter Horobin was subject to a lot of spiritual attack from all sorts of places. And still today, I think the work of LL Ministry comes under spiritual attack. We've seen that with the course that they're going to be running here next year and the year after, the Explore course. But I'm delighted that it's going ahead and we've got the requisite number of people. But the devil hates restoration and will try and draw us, will attack us in all sorts of ways, but one of the ways in which he attacks us is to try and draw us into temptation to abuse our position of trust. And so integrity and discretion and faithfulness is needed alongside gentleness when dealing with people who've made themselves vulnerable. They've been honest about the state of their lives, and that any sin that they're entangled with. And so the utmost gentleness, integrity, discretion, and faithfulness is needed. Carry each other's burdens, verse 2 says, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. And that's quite a, I think that was a little bit of a point that Paul was making here to the legalists. He's sort of saying, yeah, if you want to fulfill the law of Christ, and the way you do that is by loving your neighbour as yourself, carrying each other's burdens. And you do that through the Holy Spirit, through love for God and love for each other. It's not a tick box exercise. It's about having an attitude of love for one another. Life's full of challenges, isn't it? We all need the support and encouragement of others, which is why meeting together for worship and fellowship is so important in the Christian life. And one of the ways in which our culture has drifted away from our Christian heritage is the growth of a very selfish kind of individualism, which has affected people in the church as well. We do what feels convenient to ourselves. Churches or church activities, that's just an option if we feel like it. But the law of Christ says, no, love your neighbour as yourself. Legalism never leads to love. Legalism just adds burdens to other people. It burdens them down with a load of stuff, and they're already carrying a load of stuff. That's why Jesus was so angry with the Pharisees. Jesus said in Luke 11, verse 46, "And you, experts in the law, woe to you, because you load people down with burdens that they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift a finger to help them." And licentiousness is anti-love too, because it's all about pleasing ourselves. We don't care really about the well-being of others. And it's interesting, isn't it? We've got LL Ministries for Restoration, and we've got two L's that we want to avoid. We want to avoid the LL of legalism and licentiousness, but we want the gentle spiritual restoration of LL Ministries. Now, legalism leads to pride. So it says in verse 3, "If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." Because the driving force of legalism is comparison with other people. That's what drives the legalist. You know, how am I doing compared with others? Do I keep the rules more than them? That's the question asked by legalists to themselves. But actually, Paul is saying here that each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. We should test our... How should we test our own actions? Well, there's